These days, it's a commonplace to talk about the fact that we're living in a golden age of prestige television. And one of the effects of this is the deification of the creators. Today, the creators of many television shows are treated as genius auteurs, with each new project from David Simon, who created The Wire, or David Milch, who created Deadwood, being treated like manna from heaven. When Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, came to Australia for the Sydney Writers' Festival last year, there was a mad scramble to get tickets just to hear him talk. But, as Jessica Ford from the University of New South Wales writes, as in so many areas, there is a gender problem when it comes to show creators. Female show creators and the shows they make are treated differently by the media and the public, and Jessica joins me now. Welcome to the list.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
The first season of True Detective, created by Nick Pizzolatto, seemed to cop it particularly hard when it came out for being sort of overly phallocentric. Now, was the show particularly egregious, or was it the case of, after so many male-oriented shows, this was the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think there was definitely an element of fatigue that happened there, and I think that its treatment of its female characters was particularly bad, in the sense that the female characters sort of were just specularised. They were just there for the enjoyment of the male characters and the enjoyment of the male gaze. But at the same time, I think it was also Pizzolatto's lack of interest or lack of response to those criticisms that sort of got the television watching community up in arms. So, yeah.
So what did he say?
He basically said, I'm friends with Callie Curry, the creator of Nashville and Academy Award-winning writer and director of Thelma and Louise, and he said, she says it's fine, so it's fine.
And that's kind of the oldest, silliest defence.
It's the I'm not racist, I have a black friend argument.
From a purely numbers point of view, though, is there a gender discrepancy just in how many female show creators there are as opposed to male show creators?
Mo Ryan at the Huffington Post, probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, did a really interesting study where she looked at the amount of female-created shows that exist on premium cable and basic cable television in the US. She found that the female showrunners were by far in the minority. But I think it's also a matter of the female showrunners not necessarily getting the recognition that the male showrunners get in a lot of cases. So people like Shonda Rhimes and Jenji Kohan and Jill Soloway aren't necessarily hailed as the sort of the new bastion of amazing television the way that other creators are.
I heard Jill Soloway talking recently about the fact that she's kind of ushered in a lot of talent who've gone on to be show creators over the years, but it's taken a real long time before she was able to make a show herself.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are sort of seeing that shift happening now. If you have a look at Marty Noxon, Marty Noxon worked under Joss Whedon on Buffy. She actually show ran the last two seasons of Buffy. And now she is the co-creator and showrunner of Unreal, which is a new television show from Lifetime that's currently streaming on Stan. And it's getting really amazing reviews. It's really quite a fantastic show.
In general, though, in the world of comedy or even dramedy, there seems to be a lot of female creators of shows. We've seen acclaimed programs from Sarah Silverman, 30 Rock's created by Tina Fey, obviously Girls created by Lena Dunham. The world's currently in the grip of Amy Schumer fever. Would you say the gender imbalance is less of a problem in comedy than in drama?
There's a lack of need to invest in comedy in the sense of financially talking. If you have a look, the cost of making Girls for one season is the same as the lunch budget for Game of Thrones for like one day. The amount of money that is put into dramas as opposed to comedies is astounding, the disparity. So yes, there is absolutely way more female-focused shows, especially in the sort of last couple of years. We had that sort of girl cycle with Two Broke Girls, Whitney, New Girl, Girls, The Mindy Project, Broad City, all these sort of shows came out around the same time, you know, within 2 or 3 years, but they just don't cost as much to make. So it's financially a much lesser risk to invest your money in a female showrunner for a half-hour show, whether it be a dramedy or a comedy, than it is for a drama. I think that this idea that there is a prestige mode is sort of misleading, in a sense that there's this idea that the prestige mode means it's quality, which those two things don't necessarily always go together. I think there's been a lot of criticism of the second season of True Detective, in part because it sort of hasn't lived up to the hype of season one, and in part because people feel gypped. It had all the markers of quality television. It was glossy and beautiful, and it had all these beautiful sweeping shots of highways, and it sort of was large in scale, and it had movie stars and, you know, all this sort of thing. But that didn't really have the story to carry it.
Well, it always became like a parody of prestige television. It was so portentous and serious, and it had these monologues and things like that. Everything that we've seen in good prestige television shows, and yet it was like, oh, we've seen all this before, and for some reason this is now so boring.
Getting back to Orange is the New Black, part of it is that Orange is the New Black's aesthetic is almost always about serviceability. It's very practical. There's not a lot of big, sweeping, beautiful shots of scenery that set up the scene. There's lots of very sort of stereotypical shots over two shots. So you go over the shoulder of each character and then you have a two shot of both characters talking. It's very functional. It's aesthetic. It's almost a low-key aesthetic that is very similar to sort of the indie film movement. And that is not an aesthetic that we associate with quality television.
Do you think the fact that it, as you say, it has a kind of, not necessarily a simpler aesthetic, but a more less portentous aesthetic than these prestige shows, is partly to do with the fact that it has a female creator as opposed to a male creator, and hence would be given this prestige mode that HBO shows are given?
Absolutely. I think, and also I think Jenji Kohan is very resistant to play into that. Mm. It's very resistant to play into those ideas. She has already said that it was a bit of a Trojan horse show, in the sense that Piper was the Trojan horse that allowed her to tell stories about the rest of the women. So you have a white, middle-class, cisgendered character who allows the storyteller to tell stories about non-white, non-cisgendered, non-straight women. And so Jenji Kohan sort of has never really been particularly interested in attaining that sort of high-gloss, prestige television thing.
The Hollywood Reporter article that you discuss in your article in The Conversation talks about how Jenji Kohan from Orange is the New Black, it speaks of her often very collaboratively. It's always, she works with this person, she works with that person, she didn't get on with this person, whereas Nick Pizzolatto is treated as this solitary, Byronic figure. Why do you think there's that kind of discrepancy?
I think that's another narrative that's been borrowed from film, actually. If you go back and you look at sort of the early 90s and the sort of, I compare the sort of current era of television a lot to the early 90s in film and American cinema, because there's sort of this big artistic resurgence happens around the indie cinema and independent movement in the late 80s, early 90s in film. And I think we love a boy wonder narrative. We love a narrative that's about a solitary male figure, almost always white, always almost heterosexual, and almost always cisgendered, coming together and, you know, making this, you know, extraordinary thing all by themselves. There is no equivalent of the boy wonder narrative for female filmmakers. And if you go back and you have a look at that early sort of 90s, there were some phenomenal films being made by filmmakers like Nicole Holofcener and Tamara Jenkins, and these sort of amazing indie female filmmakers, films like Girl Fight and Slums of Beverly Hills. But the majority of the tension was on Whit Stillman and was on Quentin Tarantino and was on Noah Baumbach, because they fulfill a narrative that we don't really have a space for with female filmmakers.
Jessica Ford is a PhD candidate in the School of Arts and Media at the University of New South Wales. Thanks for being with us on The List.
Thanks, Mark.
And to get a perspective on this from a real bona fide show creator, on the line we have Deborah Oswald, award-winning writer and creator of Network 10's Offspring. Thanks so much for being on The List.
Thanks for having me.
Now, do you think the kind of gender discrepancy that Jessica Ford was writing about is as present in the Australian television industry as it is in the so-called prestige television world of HBO?
Yeah, we don't have quite the same television landscape here. Actually, I mean, on the one hand, I would say, at the moment, women are running a lot of the shows in Australia. If you think about Vicky Madden with Kettering Incident, Louise Fox with Glitch, Ellie Beaumont with House Husbands, I mean, there's a whole list of Shelley Burst with The Code. Women are actually the sort of script creators, script heads on a great number of the series that are on air at the moment in Australia. And female directors are dominating the drama here, I would say. But having said that, I think there is always a problem with gender bias. And Jill Soloway, the brilliant woman who created Transparent, talked about the problem of women having confidence and not kind of pulling themselves back all the time. I think that's a real issue. And she also talked about the male gaze, that by having male protagonists in so much of television, and particularly that prestige television, particularly things like Breaking Bad and Mad Men, the empathy is skewed all the time towards men, and women are often seen as the other or defined by their femaleness.
Anna Gunn, who played Skyler White in Breaking Bad, wrote an op-ed for the New York Times a few years ago about the hatred directed at her character from fans. Even though Walter was a murderous drug dealer, the audience felt antipathy towards Skyler, his wife's character, and she actually got a lot attacked by viewers.
Yes, it's a really interesting thing that the minute you make, I mean, look at Dexter too, the minute you make somebody the point of view in the drama, the audience tends to empathise with them. But there's a lot of television at the moment with hateful women in it too, nagging, horrible women. And it's interesting that audiences are often much more judgmental about female characters than they are male characters. That was something we discovered on Offspring all the time, that a man could get away with being a philanderer and that was sort of naughty but charming, whereas a woman, you know, had one infidelity and she was some sort of, you know, dreadful creature.
Well, if you look, I think, at the interviews that Amy Schumer got a few weeks ago as she went around Australia, all any interviewer seemed to focus on was, ooh, it's a female character who's sleeping around. What's the deal with that?
Yes, it was one of the things that was most important to us on Offspring, that the main female characters were women where they were the ones doing the desiring. They weren't objects of desire. They had, you know, those Proud Mum women had very lusty sexuality and very powerful libidos, and I was proud of that. They, you know, it was all about who they fancied rather than who was fancying them. I mean, that's unusual. I mean, Amy Schumer, bless her, is one of the people who's shifting the ground a bit for us.
What do you think of the idea that female writers and female show creators seem to be in some ways dominating the worlds of comedy and even dramedy, but there's still this big gap when it comes to drama?
Yes, I think it's, I think that's probably so. I do wonder sometimes whether it's more about the definitions that we use of what's important, what's serious, that if something involves a lot of murdering or politics, that somehow that's more meaty and serious about the human condition than something that's about relationships and parenting and sexuality and has humour in it.
Mm.
I think maybe the problem there is how we define what's meaty and important and what's not. That there's a gender bias but there's a skewed perspective on what's important.
Well, Deborah Oswald, creator of Network 10's Offspring, really appreciate you coming on to give your perspective.
No worries, thank you.
Well, that's all we've got time for, and all I've got time for, because it's my last show. Cassie McCullough will be back in the chair next week. I've had a ball these last few weeks. On the list, this is RN. I'm Mark Sutton.